In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." In every aspect of how we live, we have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Those are words of wisdom from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again today about becoming adult. Teenage children are in the process, let's never forget it, of becoming adults. And they don't always move with the speed that we would like them to move. Some of them move with much greater speed than we would like and do things which are not appropriate to the age of 14 or 16. But let's think about what we really want of our dearly beloved teenagers. We do want them to grow up. We want them to be good citizens, good workers, good husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and above all, true Christians. But the great object which we must keep ever in mind through all the vicissitudes and changes, all the heartaches, remember the heartaches are not all yours, they have heartaches too. I'll never forget Billy Graham telling about how he had had to give up a girlfriend when he became a Christian. He knew that it was not a relationship which was glorifying to God. And when he obeyed God in making that break, somebody said to him, "Oh, but it was only puppy love anyway." And Billy said, "Yeah, but it sure was hard on the puppy." So don't forget that your children have heartaches, and they are very real heartaches. Think back to some of your own. But there are heartaches and there are joys for you. And the great object which we are keeping ever in mind through all the vicissitudes and changes and heartaches and joys is the glory of God. The glory of God, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that they may be firmly fixed in love, filled through all their being with God Himself. Now, these are not Elizabeth Elliott phrases. These are from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And this is a prayer that I've memorized and find very helpful when I don't quite know what to pray for people. This says it all. It's from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. "I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood, earthly or heavenly, derives its name. And I pray that out of the glorious richness of His resources, He will enable you to know the strength of the Spirit's inner reinforcement, that Christ may actually live in your hearts by faith. And I pray that you, rooted and founded in love yourselves, may be able to grasp with all Christians how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know for yourselves that love so far above our understanding. So will you be filled through all your being with God Himself." I love that phrase, filled through all your being with God Himself. Could we ask anything greater than that for the people we love? "Now to Him who by His power within us is able to do infinitely more than we ever dare to ask or imagine. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen." Again, that's from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. We have to pray that prayer for ourselves, don't we? I pray that the Lord will fill me through all my being with God Himself. The richer our vision of Him, the closer will be our walk with Him, and the deeper our love, and the more fruitful our work with our children. Then I think of Amy Carmichael's poem, "Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. We need those qualities, don't we? Faith, hope, love, passion in training our children who are now becoming adults. Never lose your confidence in God. We can move ahead with the quiet certainty that His purpose will prevail in spite of all appearances to the contrary. Those sheep will be got in. I have a letter here that I'd like to read from one of our listeners. She says, "What I desperately need to know is this. Do you have any insight or material to share or sell me on an alienated child in the family? He, a 12-year-old, is so obstinate, so lazy and picky and argumentative. I could go on and on. He has turned friends and family away from him because no one can stand to be around him for long, me included, I'm afraid. This is a terrible situation, and as I long to be like Christ, I have been a Christian for 10 years, and go to my Bible study and seek God's will for my life, this one thing keeps coming up to hinder me. I must reconcile with my son and get to where I can bear to be around him. I am his mother. Please help if you can. I need practical help." Well, there's a heart cry from a mother, and I'm sure it echoes the heart cries of many of you. Most of us have seen or probably know quite well one of these obstinate, lazy, picky, argumentative children who perhaps wasn't like that a couple of years ago. The enemy has come in. There is no question that the enemy of our souls, Satan, that ancient foe who seeks to work us woe, really can't stand anyone's obedience to God. And so in any way that he can get at us, and there's no more effective way of getting at us parents than to get at our children, he is going to use in any way that he can. But remember that your child is not your enemy. It is the enemy of you and your child that has brought about this difference between you, this rift, whatever it is. This child is your child, your loved child. But he's thinking of you as his enemy, and he's acting accordingly. One thing that I would suggest is that you do allow him a certain amount of privacy and silence to a point. Don't insist that he participate as enthusiastically as he has before in the activities, perhaps, of his younger brothers and sisters, which he may be looking upon with great scorn now. But you do need to insist on civility to members of the family. If he is obstinate and lazy, then it seems to me that it should be the father who deals with the child, if it's a boy, that he should deal calmly and kindly with him. If the father's not doing that, you can't make him do it if you're the mother, but you should pray about that. And if it's possible, to talk to the father and just remind him that his correction might be much more effective than yours, by all means do that. Is he lazy? Well, perhaps that's partly your fault because you didn't train him to work soon enough when he was a young child. One thing that's very obvious is you can just say, you know, everybody works in this house. We don't need arguments. We will not allow anyone to be lazy. The Bible says if a man will not work, he will not eat. It takes patience. It takes time. Spiritual work is slow, as the action of leaven is slow. Souls, as Amy Carmichael used to say, can't be hustled. A calm, sweet, sympathetic, friendly spirit will have its effect in God's time. A loving surrender as his tool. Remember, Jesus prayed, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself." There's nothing more important that you could do for your child than to sanctify yourself, to become holy. What is to be your vision for your child and the young people to whom you are sent? Nothing but the best is worthwhile, says an old writer. You need an outlook on human souls which shall regard each as a unique and living spirit infinitely dear to God, a child of the celestial nursery having a latent tendency to him of a particular kind which you have the chance of fostering and helping to grow. This, when we look around at the average members of a Sunday school or class, may seem an extreme way of putting things. Yet it's really the only possible way for you as Christians to regard your work. That complete confidence in God, which is the fruit of a life of prayer, brings with it a certain power of seeing all his children from the supernatural point of view, as little growing spirits whose angels stand before him. The wide-spreading love and compassion, which has no doubts or reserves, an intimate, generous belief in souls of all sorts, and an infinite desire to help them to grow right. This is surely to love human creatures in the way in which God loves the world. That means keeping your eye all the time on the real, the spiritual creature, its possibilities, its innate need of God, its difficulties and weaknesses, yet its wonderful and touching beauty. A beauty so wonderful and touching that it could carry the values of the incarnation. It means that you look upon your vocation mainly as a call to cherish and feed your children, helping their growth towards holiness. In fact, wise feeding of the young and growing souls given into your care is, I suppose, the main part of your work. As a mother, you have the job of feeding them physically, but much more importantly, spiritually. The Lord God will help you. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.